Now, he says here, verse 22, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other man's sins, keep thyself pure. Now, first, lay your hands suddenly on no man. Now, you remember we've had this before, that the officers are installed for the laying on of the hands. And as we said before, that the laying on of hands does not communicate anything. There's no spiritual vibrations that go out from the one putting his hand on another. The only thing that you can transmit by laying on hands are disease germs. And sometimes you can do that. And I believe in laying on of hands like this. I always think of what Dr. Tozer said years ago. He said, my father believed in the laying on of hands, and believe me, he really laid them on. Well, I believe in laying on of hands. And in connection with that, why, a friend gave me this little clipping some time ago that he apparently got out of a newspaper. And it said, once Papa dealt out stern discipline in the woodshed, then furnaces took away the need for wood. The electric razor eliminated his strap. Tax worries took away his hair, so his hairbrush was discarded. That's why kids are running wild today. Dad's run out of weapons, so that all he could do was just lay on his hand. My dad was good at that, by the way. And I often wondered whether it burnt his hand as much as it burnt me. But laying on of hands is a very good practice. But here, the thought is, do not lay your hand suddenly on a man. That is, on a neophyte. That is, a man that's just recently been converted. Now, that's the reason that I have opposed that when a Hollywood star, years ago this took place, would be converted, that they not be put on the platform to even give a testimony. And today, of course, they are writing books on theology, so-called, and it's weird theology, by the way. They are not to be made teachers immediately. My feeling today is that the church ought to be a place of instruction where the Word of God is taught and men and women might be built up in the faith. Now, we have developed today, Alka-Seltzer Christians and Alka-Seltzer churches. It's all fizz, foam, and froth. All that you have is just a lot of emotion and a lot of talking about love, love, love. Well, it's wonderful. And that's the thing Paul has said here, how important it is in the church that that be displayed. But my friend, that has to be anchored in the Word of God. Our mistake, I feel today, and it's been the mistake of many of us, is that we always interpret experience as being the thing that is the real test. We've got the cart before the horse. The Word of God is the test, and experience should follow from that and should prove that. But the experience is not to contradict the Word of God, and that's been the great problem today. Now, these men that are called elders here obviously were teachers in the early church, and I think, as we saw last time, that they received a remuneration. And I think there in the city of Ephesus, Paul wasn't there, and there were literally, at this time, thousands of converts in that immediate area, and they need teaching, and these men were teachers. Now, it was a pretty serious business for this young missionary to select these teachers and to appoint them to teach the Word of God. And that's what he's saying to him. Probably we should conclude this. He says, neither be partaker of other men's sins, keep thyself pure. In other words, don't compromise, Timothy. That's what he's saying to him in this. Because there'd be somebody that'd come, so, oh, this fellow that's been converted, he has a wonderful testimony. Let's have him give it. And this fellow gets up and preaches a little sermon. Now, Paul says, you are a partner in sin if you do a thing like that. You keep yourself pure. Make sure that these men are anchored in the Word of God.